Good morning, everyone. You know, I'm a South African, like a lot of you Africans, but we like the sun. Do you also like the sun, Irish? Oh, good, good. Well, even the Polish say they love the sun as well. That's good. But the question is, do you like the sun or the sun with an O? With an O. You all like the sun with an O. That's great. That's great. This morning, we're going to have a little chat. And it's so easy, so simple, that you can break your neck over the simplicity of it. But it's still yet very profound. One of the things that Jesus spoke about on the way to the cross. The question that I have for each one this morning is my life, your life, a Jesus-centered life? Is it focused on Him, or is it focused on you, or is it focused on anything else? And it's a question that each one of us has to ask, answer for himself this morning. We're going to read John 15. I've asked Stefania again to read because she reads much better than I do. And yet we are one in any way. So let's do that first. Thank you, Stefania.
John 15, verse 1. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I've loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in his love. If I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love, I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I've loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends.
Amen. Did you get it? You understand what Jesus was talking about? Are we sure? So my question is, why don't we apply it? One of the basic principles of Bible study is it's always good to know who are the characters involved. And in this story that Jesus was telling, there are three. The one is the Father, who is the gardener, who's taking care of the plants, of the vine, of the vineyard, who takes care of everything that happens in that vineyard. That includes the pruning, the watering, the whole catuti, everything. The second one in this story is Jesus, who is the vine. He is the one, like Jesus says, I am the vine. And who's the third one? Me. Me, I'm the third one. I am the one that is grafted into the vine. I'm the one that needs to feed from the vine. Like it says, our whole calling is to abide, remain, stay, dwell in Christ. Like it says there, apart from Him, I can do nothing. So let's see how does that work. The question is, what am I part of? Now, there are three pictures. The first one there is actually what happened on the cross. Jesus died for my sin. Jesus paid the price. Jesus suffered. Jesus got cut up. Jesus everything. So I am grafted in, but the cut already happened on the cross. So all I had to do is, which is the middle one, I had to slot into that place to be grafted in. And how do I do that? By accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. By acknowledging that I am a sinner. By acknowledging that it's grace and grace alone. By acknowledging that it's through faith it can be done. Now you'll notice on the first one, there's a cut. But on the second one, there's also a cut. In other words, to be grafted in, I've got to get rid of my old life. I've got to, like the Bible says, and I will put a new heart of flesh into you. Take out this old heart, which is hard, which is full of sin, and He grafted a new heart into me. I became part of that. But look what happens on the third picture. It tied us down. It bind us together. It doesn't work if that doesn't happen. It's not a loose thing, friends. Knowing Jesus, accepting Jesus is not something that you do today and tomorrow you go off again. It doesn't work like that. You see, grafting in, being joined to Christ as the source of life, like a branch united to the vine. And you know what's interesting in this story? You start picking up what the vine feeds you. Your old things are disappearing, and the new juice, the new sap is flowing into you. Who keeps me in line? Dad, our Heavenly Father keeps me in line. Now look at can you see what happens on the left-hand side? That's how my life sometimes looks like. It's a mess. And then every now and then, God has got to come in and start pruning, and that's how it sometimes looks. In other words, He prunes us to the bone sometimes. And sometimes it's painful. But why does He do that? Like it says, God cuts away what is unhelpful, even if it's painful, so that more fruit can grow. Now, if anybody here knows how to prune a vine or a tree or roses, you cut it down to the bottom so that it can get new growth, get new things growing. And this is the result. This is what happens. You who do rely on abiding in Christ, remaining in Christ, trusting and depending on Him continuously. Much fruit. Hey, those grapes look actually quite nice, don't they? Would you like some? Sorry, you'll have to wait for it a little bit. So how do I get there? I need to believe in Him as the Son of God and as my Lord and Savior. There's no choice. There is no shortcut. It's the only way. What did Jesus say in John 14? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's put the emphasis on the life. He gives us life through being abided into Him. Keep coming back. Abiding is an ongoing trust and obedience, not a once-off decision. You know, they're two difficult words. The one is justification and the other one is sanctification. You are justified on what Jesus did on the cross. But you get sanctified in the process of walking and getting the sap from Jesus. The way that He feeds us, the way that He works with us, the way that He does things for us. Is it easy? No, it's not always easy. Every now and then, you know, a vine gets pruned every season. And in our lives, God prunes us every season. He lets us go a little bit, then he says, no, oh, Gerrit, I need to cut a few things off here. Then he cuts me off again, and it's sometimes not so nice. It's sometimes very painful. To remain in Christ is not to leave him, but to abide in him. Now, there's a difference between remain and abide. Remain means like a house. But abide means a home. You turn it into something. A house is just, I am there. But abide means much more. I accept what is in the house. I turn the house into a home for myself. My children have just moved this weekend, our children, and they turning it from a house, which was an empty four walls, they're now turning it into a home. But it's work. It doesn't come for nothing. Like they say in Zulu, it doesn't come from Mahala. You need to do something about it. You need to really work at it. Be available for him daily. Meet him daily. And meditating on it daily. In other words, if I want to build a life and abide in Christ, I need to do these things daily. It doesn't come for nothing. Daily, my life needs to be tied into him all the time. Not only on Sunday morning when it's nice and everybody says hallelujah, amen, and we all sing together and praise and worship, all that. It needs to be from Sunday to Sunday exactly the same thing. But we fall flat on that. That's probably why God brought in the Sabbath or the Sunday so that we can pick it up again on Sunday. God's Word. Guys, if you haven't got this message yet, you will never get it. God's Word is the most important thing in your life. And it says that in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. What does it do? It teaches us what is true. It rebukes us when we do nonsense. It corrects us, the things that we need to change. In other words, correcting, for instance, if I don't treat Stefani well, it's not necessarily that I'm sinning, but I don't treat her very well. Like the Bible says, love her, take care of her, all that. If I don't do that, the Bible says, Gerrit, you better read something in what is it? Ephesians 5 there, it talks about treat your wife well, because you love her. And it trains us to do what is right. Why does the Word of God say that? Prepare and equip me to do what God wants me to do. Does that mean I've got to go into full-time ministry because God wants me to do that? No. He wants you to apply those things in where you are, at your job, in whatever God placed you at. And he may have another plan for you today, tomorrow, but today you do what he tells you to do. Prayer is the branch to vine dependence. You know, the Word of God is one way, it comes to you, but you also need to, like this, the preparing this, I need to go to God and say, God, I can't do this by myself. I need you. Do you believe that? Yeah. Did you pray for me for this morning? Be careful. Jesus ties abiding and prayer together. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now, why is it that I haven't got my Ferrari yet? It's a good question, isn't it? Exactly, it won't be good for me because I won't be able to get in and out of that Ferrari. It's too low. I'll break my back on it. But I'd love to, and why would I love it? All I would do is I would brag, and then where does God come into the picture? Guys, whatever you wish. Do I wish my children to be happy? Do I wish that they have jobs? Do I wish that they find God? Do I wish those things? Yes, I do wish that. And I bring that to the Lord. Stefan and I do that every day. We bring that every day to the Lord. Because he likes us reminding him on what he says in his word. Prayer becomes the only way to say, I can do nothing apart from him. Supply what I lack for this day, this customer, or even this message. Every morning, we ask God, I can't do it this day without you. I need you. Help me. Give me your insight, your wisdom, your knowledge, your courage, everything, your love, everything, so that I can go through this day. And I must tell you, he honors that. But you've got to ask him that. Even if you slept late, you can still close your eyes for 2 minutes and say, Lord. Or even in the car. Abiding in his love. I've been wondering this weekend when I was preparing this, why God, Jesus spoke so much about love. Do you know? I mean, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, in love, you can do nothing without love. That's what he says here. He laid down his life for me. Why does he do that? I think the answer is simple. If I love Stefanie, I love her. Would I harm her? Would I do anything that damages her? Or if I love somebody else, would I steal their money or kill them or talk bad things about them if I love them? No, I won't. And that's the thing that we need to realize. Why Jesus kept on going. Why John in 1 John talks so much about love himself. Love stabilizes whatever happens. If something happens and you go in love, what happens? It cools down. You may still have to go through the situation, but it cools down. It takes the bite out of it, you know. You loved before you were useful. Did you know that? God loved you from the foundation of this world. He loved you. He already knew about everybody in this church before the foundation of the world. He knew that you were going to sit here this morning before the foundation of the world. And he knew that his son was going to die for you before the foundation of this world. He knew that. So, he loved you before you became useful. Am I useful? Sometimes God has got to prune me a little bit to make me useful. And I think I'm only talking about myself. I don't know how your wine bush looks like. That's something you need to fish out yourself. Find out. Is it true? Love expresses the very character and purpose of God. And you know, that is true. If Jesus sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for us, just imagine. I can't imagine sending my son off to die somewhere for anybody, never mind the world. What about you? Emmanuel, would you you'll allow JD to say, don't worry, what would you do if you knew he was going to do this in 20 years' time? Exactly, it's not happening, and he's right, it's not happening. But with God, it did happen. And you know what is the nice part of this? God doesn't expect us to do that, because the price has been paid. And you know what Jesus said on the cross? It's brilliant. It is finished. It's done, it's dusted. Nobody ever has to do this again. How do I become Jesus-centered? Because it's all about Jesus being Jesus completely in you now. How does that happen? You have to look. Start your day consciously, turning to the vine. Lord Jesus, today I abide in you. Apart from you, I can do nothing. And you know what is a secret there? Acknowledging that you can't do it. That's the secret. If you say, I can do all things, but don't say, in Christ who strengthens me, then you're lost. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All things. So yes, You need to start the day by looking at what? Looking at the vine. Looking at Jesus. Looking at who he is. What he's done for you. What he is going to do. Looking in expectation. Is it going to be an exciting day? The people that you meet. And we all meet people. Listen. Take a portion of scripture and linger until something of Christ's heart grips on you. His word abides in you. Friends, sometimes we think that we need to read five chapters. Sometimes one verse is enough. My experience, maybe two verses, maybe a short portion, because it starts talking to you. And when it starts talking to you, it starts repeating itself during the day. It starts becoming part of you. And you know what? Your verse for tomorrow morning is not my verse. It's not the person next to his verse. Everybody's verse is different. Although it can be the same verse, but saying different things to different people. Because that's the amazement of God's word. You can read something today, one thing, and what happens? Tomorrow you read the same thing, and it says a totally different thing to you. Because God meets you at where you are. And where he meets you, you need to abide in that. Take it and make it part of you in every way that you do. Oh, by the way, just on the sideline, God has given you one mouth and two ears, which means listen more than what you try to talk. And that not only goes in terms of God's word, it goes in terms of everyday life, in terms of everything. Sometimes it's a good idea to zip your lip. Lean. Name the realities of your day, whatever it is. Ask him specifically for his life in each. Sometimes it's not a bad idea to just sit and write down what you have to do today. You know, I've got to do this and this and this and this. Lord, I need your blessing on this and this and this and this and this. Give me guidance on this and this and this. Or whatever it is you're doing. Like Peter is fixing cars. Lord, I need your wisdom to know what I need to do here. Somebody may be a doctor or has to do an operation. Lord, you guide my hands in this situation. All those things takes care of everything. I mean, even David is making coffee. The best part of everything, of course. He's making coffee. But if he doesn't bring that to the Lord, who says that the coffee machine is going to work properly? I have that experience. I'm talking about now, about 40 years ago. I was part of with the Gideons, and I was doing Bible placements at a school in a rural area. And I thought, this is somewhat a piece of cake. I'll go and just do it. I didn't pray about it. I didn't anything. The car stopped 2 kilometers from the school. It was nearly a new car. It was as dead as a duck. I couldn't get it going. I couldn't get it started. I looked into the bonnet. Nothing happened. And then the Lord said to me, you want to do it by yourself? It's fine. You can walk. I realized my mistake. Apologized. Got in the car. The car started and I went to the school. But that's sometimes what happens. God stops us at where we need to be, learning something and then carry on with it. It wasn't that he didn't want me to go and do the Bible placing. He wanted me to acknowledge him in the Bible placing. And that goes for all of us. He wants us to acknowledge him in our daily walk, into being part of him. I mean, after all, if we claim that we are the branches, we better do what the vine says. Because, I mean, if the vine doesn't feed us, where are we? Learn. Oh, friends, become teachable. Listen to what people are talking about. See if it is true. Like, for instance, I'm talking a lot this morning. Go home and check if I'm talking the truth. There's nothing wrong with it. I don't mind. Go and see if God's word actually confirms what I'm saying. Because God's word confirms him all the time. So be teachable by intentionally trusting and obeying God's word. Love intentionally express the very character and purpose of God. Someone you speak kindly to, forgive, serve sacrificially. Friends, it's a choice. It's a choice if I want to love Stefania or not. She can't make me. If I don't want to, I won't. But it's a choice that I do want to love her. And the more I love her, the more she loves me back. It's not, okay, like my mom and my dad was like that. It's love is 50-50. It doesn't work that way. Love is one way, 100%. So the more I love her, the more she loves me back. The more I tell her, the more she tells me back. Now she tells me and I accept. I tell her, she accepts. It's the same thing, friends, with God. Who of you have told God in the last 2 weeks, I love you, Lord? Apart from the praise and worship here on a Sunday morning. Think about it. I love you, Lord, with all my heart, with everything that I have, what you've done for me, not only on the cross, what you are doing for me today, now. He's doing it for me now. Brilliant. You know, it goes beyond my comprehension what God is doing for me. I just need to accept it. And I accept it in faith because He made His promises. Let go. Accept pruning. You'd usually fight against an interruption, a delay, a disappointment. As the Father hand and respond with trust instead of frustration. Let go. Let God. Guys, friends, if you have to go and ask for forgiveness to someone, go and do it. If you have to go and sort something out, go and do it. If you feel guilty about something because the lady at the till gave you too much change, go there, in there, and give it back. If it's in here, you know it when you do something wrong. I don't have to tell you what is that. And it's not a question of, oh, you've robbed a bank or you've hit this one or that one. It's the small things. It's acknowledging God in everything and in every way. That's what it means to be Christ-centered, to be Jesus-centered, to be make Jesus the central part of your life. Is Jesus a spoil sport? No, He doesn't. Does He want to take your fun away? Did we have a barbecue last week or not? We didn't all sit there like, came in here, we all sit there like holy, like this, like holier than holy. We had fun. We laughed. We had, and so on. He says, enjoy the sun. I'm giving you the sun. He says that. He does that. Take hold of it. Grab it. Make it part of you. Because I am tied to the vine. I am a branch in the vine. And I tell you one thing that I realize is the more I read, the more I realize that Jesus was a fun Jesus. The Bible doesn't talk a lot about laughter and all that kind of thing. But God is a fun God. God has got, I mean, if God wasn't fun, then we wouldn't also have fun. Because we have the mind of Christ. If I am right, if I'm saying that, it should be like that. Because that's what the Word of God says. So if God has got fun, I can also have fun. Summarizing. You are joined with Christ. Anybody here that is not joined with Christ, I suggest that you do. I suggest that if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would really suggest that you do that. Your life will be changed, will be different. I guarantee that. I mean, I'm going for a long way in this thing. I mean, Stefania and I, we grew up in the church, but we accepted Jesus about 6 months before we got married. And we're going a long time in marriage already. And He's never let us down. Never, ever, ever. Did we always have a wealth of money? No. We were, lots of times, we were broke. But He pulled us through all that. Why? Because we remained in Him. Because we abide in him. Do things happen to us as well? Sure. Bad things happen to good people. But God pulls us through that. Because if you look, you look at him, put your eyes on him, you take your eyes away from the problem that you're in. And God takes care of the problem. And I mean, what happened to us in the last 2-3 years here is just, it's not even short of a miracle. It just is a miracle. God has taken care because he knows. He knows. Am I right, Stefanie? God shapes you by pruning. Don't resist pruning. Friends, I've pruned vines and bushes, rose bushes and so on, that haven't been pruned for years. And it's hard work. Am I right, Anna? But look at, were they nice afterwards? The blooms were brilliant. Because sometimes you've got to cut it back. And you've got to allow God to do that. And when Anna looked at the bush, the rose bushes, she says, I don't know what Gerrit has done on it. And she had to wait till spring came. And then she got the surprise. And it's the same thing with God. God puts you through the ringer now. And in 6 months' time, or in 3 years' time, or in 6 years' time, say, I now understand why that happened. But I have to allow him to do that. I have to allow him, like Anna allowed me to prune her rose bushes. I have to allow God to prune me, or else I'll start looking like that, like a disaster. The emphasis is not on self-effort, but on union with him, being dependent on him, and growth in him. Friends, if that's all I can bring to you this morning, is it's not you, it's him and him and him alone. And I want to underline it. What does Paul say? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. What does he also say? He says, and I will talk about nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Does that mean I've got to blabber it out everywhere? No, that does not mean. It starts here. It starts from within. And it starts growing out. And people will say, he's got something different. She is changed. I wonder why that is. I wonder why. And then they start asking questions. And when they start asking questions, you do have the answer. Because like Peter says, to be able then to give an account of what Jesus has done in my life. And the things changes. Because the moment that you, when that happens, God is in control. God takes over. God is the one that pulls people to himself. God is the one that does the pruning. God is the one that pulls everyone to himself. I can't do it. But God uses my mouth, uses my life, uses my action, uses what comes out of what these people see. They say, oh, okay. Oh, no, not that. Not that. You know, just a simple thing. We walk. Every day we walk and we look everywhere. And we walk, and we look everywhere like this, and I fall. Let me use a different illustration. We watched the rugby match yesterday, Stefan and I. And in the dying minute, the line was open, and the guy had the chance to make the game equal. And he took his eyes off the ball, and he missed it, and the team lost. And it's the same with us. If we keep our eye on him, the perfecter of our faith, we keep it on him, what will happen? We won't strip over this. We won't take our eye off the ball. We will win the match. Paul is clear on that. I mean, you know, maybe you need to read a little bit more to hear what Paul says about all these things. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, and we want to first of all acknowledge you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We want to acknowledge you as the gardener. We want to acknowledge you as the one that takes care of us by pruning, by watering us, by removing the weeds in our lives and all that. And we want to acknowledge you in that. Thank you for that, Father. Jesus, you took that bold step 2,000 years ago to die on the cross. It was a cataclysmic event that took place. But if you didn't do that, I would not be able to stand here this morning. Father, and I want to say thank you for it. Thank you that you sent your son Jesus to do that, because your word says, for God so loved the world, that includes me and everybody here, that he sent his only begotten son. So whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you that I can acknowledge you as my Father, as my Dad. That I acknowledge what Jesus, what you've done. That I acknowledge that I can be part of the vine, Father. But I pray for anybody that is here that can't say the same thing. I pray that you will work in their hearts, that you will open their minds, that you will show them. For whatever way you want to do it, Father, because you're in control, that what they need, even what they need to do to make it right with you, so that they can also experience and have the joy of eternal life. Thank you for your greatness, for your goodness, for your mercy, for all the good things that you're giving us, Father. And thank you for your word as well. We pray this all in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. There's a prayer team here if there's anybody that needs prayer, you're welcome. Siva will take the offering. Siva, thank you. In front here.